Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 6th of July, recording at 9:37 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights today. Asian stock markets, quieter action, although Japan was up 1.1% on the Nikkei. The Chinese markets declined by almost that much, or at least Hong Kong and the HSCEI index did. The A shares were steadier, as were the B shares. The ASEAN sector quiet here, although Malaysia hit another new all-time high. In Europe, we had some profit-taking, particularly in Italy and Spain. Due to concern over sovereign debt problems, which caused yields in Portugal to soar here today. That's probably the main story of the day. The Americas, well, we had Brazil, Mexico, and Canada down a little bit. Wall Street was underwater for at least half the day, but closed with some modest gains, I suppose best in the Dow, up 0.45%, only 0.1% for the S&P, NASDAQ up over 0.25%. Long-dated government bond prices steadied a little bit here, particularly in Europe and the UK. Precious metals. So let me take the dollar first. The dollar index is strong. That's largely because the euro is really quite weak and sterling was a bit weak. The euro has fallen back to 143.17. Elsewhere, the dollar did not do so well, but no real drama here. The precious metals started quietly, then rallied, led by gold and silver. Platinum and palladium fell back later in the day and closed with losses. But gold is currently 15.28 and 50 cents. Has been as high as nearly 15.34. And silver is currently up 44 cents at 35.91. It has been as high as 36.28. A little bit of profit taking in the industrial metals. That may have weighed on platinum and palladium, which somehow have not been perceived as being as precious in gold as gold and silver in recent months, and that will be due in part to the strong usage in catalytic converters for automobiles and trucks. Okay, what else? I think those are the main stories. Crude oil is a little bit lower, as is natural gas. Now, what's going on here overall? Well, it's been a blistering rally. Really very, very impressive. And gains are a little bit overextended now. The short-term indicators are overbought. Therefore, I think we need to think increasingly in terms of some pause and consolidation. But I think there's a chance that we may avoid the sort of very choppy action that we had seen really for so much of the year, and we quite possibly have less downside risk now. So I think we're moving out of this very choppy corrective phase, which had a downward bias for most stock markets. Now, we can't be certain of that. You never are quite certain of it until it's become a fait accompli. But the action has been has been good. As I pointed out daily in these broadcasts, the leadership coming from the ASEAN sector, Wall Street has been a full participant. I mean, if you look at the charts, and I would encourage you to do so, you see the NASDAQ and you see the S&P, and they've basically been in broad trading ranges. And we had an important low in March. Rallies were rebuffed at the upper side of the range on three or four occasions. And we then had an important low in June, finding support a little bit above the March low. And we're back on the upper side of the range where we can anticipate at least a short-term hesitation in here. But overall, as I say, it's been extremely impressive, and I think it's a good harbinger for what lies ahead in terms of the fourth quarter and possibly sooner. And I like the action that we've seen from India and China here as well. And Fuller Money themes generally have been for miners have picked up quite well. And the NASDAQ has been to the fore on this rally, and a lot of those big multinational companies and hot tech area sectors such as cloud computing all doing very, very well. So I think that really although we have the short-term overbought condition, I think stocks are generally a buy on pullbacks. And again, to repeat myself, we're on schedule here for a decent fourth quarter, and that usually carries well into the new year. Long-dated government bond prices I've described in the last few days as being a little bit oversold following the sharp falls. They're getting a bit of a bounce in here. I don't think it'll go too far. I think the highs are in for the year. In other words, I think the lows are in for the year on long-dated government bond yields. So we'll pause and range around here for a little bit. But again, in the fourth quarter and probably sooner, I would expect to see bond prices moving lower, long-dated government bond prices moving lower, yields higher. In currency terms, there are basically three weak currencies, and that's the euro and sterling, and also the US dollar. Or those are the three main weak currencies. I don't think that's going to change a great deal, but I'm not looking for plunges to the downside either. The euro has plenty of problems with sovereign debt issues regarding the periphery countries. Debt is high generally, even in Germany. But this is the second most reserve currency in the world. And not in every pundit's eyes, but very much so in the Chinese eyes. And they've got the money to diversify into it and are doing so, have been doing so. Now, the hard currencies, though, that are the ones that we've seen all along, they're the resources currencies. They're taking a welcome breather. Governments and central banks in those countries have been concerned about the strength of the current of them, and I'm talking about the Australian dollar and also the Canadian dollar. Probably the very best currencies on a longer term basis will be the Asian growth economies, currencies for the Asian growth economies. I still think the yen is too strong, but I've been saying that for quite a while, and it hasn't weakened much. A little bit of a difference of opinion there between the government and the central bank governor. The central bank governor seems delighted with the strength of the yen and doesn't think that anything needs to be done. The government and plenty of independent forecasters think that Japan would benefit from a weaker yen relative to its main competitor currencies. I would agree with that, and certainly do agree with that. Gold and silver and the entire precious metals group, really, I think, is well poised here. It's in the latter stages of a consolidation. There's even a chance that the lows are in during this corrective phase. And over the last couple of days, it's been a very good performance by gold and silver, and I'm happy to have some longs there once again. I actually bought a little bit more silver today, and was able to put in a tight stop on that. I still think that September is probably launch time to the upside if my overall script is correct, and that script is not based on a wish, but on an assessment of the chart action and cycles over the last decade that we've seen, timing cycles with gold. It's been like clockwork, really. And I mentioned in the odd years, of which 2001, odd numbered years, have seen generally the best gains. And in the last 2 years, we've seen lows in July. We had a low on July 1st. I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more sideways ranging before that uptrend, those uptrends resume. And we may well get that. Seasonal factors would suggest that we do. But in the short term, we may see gold and silver at least test the upper side of their small ranges that have formed over the last 2 to 3 months. I don't think silver is going to get anywhere near its high soon. Up at $50, it's nearly $50. It's $35.89 today. But I do expect that level to be taken out over the medium term. So, what else to mention? Crude oil. This really is the key. If crude oil were to spike to the upside, just about everything that I've said would look or prove to be Panglossian. On the other hand, there really isn't a strong reason why crude oil should spike to the upside right now. I think it's the background in terms of supply and demand, with slower GDP growth, would suggest really that it would range near today's levels, and that's WTI at 97, and that's the Brent, which is at 114. Range around this level and quite possibly lower. Lower would be good for the global economy, of course. Now, I have said on a number of occasions that the supply-demand balance is tighter than I would like it to be, and that's because the Libyan production is down. But I think it's really going to be a tight supply situation for a number of years, even after Libyan production comes back on stream. That's going to be at least a year or two away. They haven't even gotten rid of Gaddafi yet. And it's not going to start, or they're not going to start repairs in that region in all likelihood. They're not going to be able to get the overseas expertise back in the country until that situation changes. So we'll have to wait for that. And meanwhile, the demand from the growth economies will be increasing pretty well steadily. One little hurdle here, I think, going back to stock markets, will be the second, I beg your pardon, the well, no, it'll be the second quarter earnings reports. I think they'll be mixed, and I think probably we're due for some downgrades on the third quarter. We can thank the last spike in the price of crude oil for that. But fourth quarter earnings, of course, we won't see those until we're in 2012. I would expect them to be higher. So, not a bad outlook overall. We don't have a rip-roaring bull market environment here right now. We'll have to be patient. We can only deal with the reality that markets provide. But I think that the ranging activity that we're currently seeing in stock markets is more of a support building than distributive process. And I suspect that we will be rewarded in holding on to floor money themes and most of the other equity positions that you like, not least the high yielders. And on that note, all the best.